Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 650. It's the 29th of November, 2016. On the podcast today, I have Alistair Stobie, CFO of Hurricane Energy, that's HUR ticker, and Alistair talks about their recent agreement to use an FPSO on the company's Lancaster field west of Shetland. Plus, I also have Matt Lofgren, CEO of Nostra Terra, that's NTOG, talks about today's acquisition of an 80% working interest in the Pine Mills oil field in Wood County, Texas. Plus, I also have today's suggested one for your watch list. It is Iron Ridge Resources, that's IR ticker, submitted by Darren. I'll get to that in a bit. I also have, of course, as always, the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours, and the top three most liked RNSs on the website in the last 24 hours too.
The Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Alistair Stobie, CFO of Hurricane Energy. That's HUR ticker. Alistair, thanks for joining me again.
It's a pleasure to be back so soon.
Well, listen, do you know what? Normally, you know, companies don't release news. You're releasing news as fast as anything. We talked to, a few weeks back, and already you've released a couple more updates, and it's all happening there. It must be busy times there, yeah?
Yeah, it's, well, you know, busy is good.
Yeah, it is good, yes. Well, listen, for people, you know, not familiar with Hurricane Energy or haven't heard the last podcast, can you give us a brief summary as to what you're all about there, please, Alistair?
Yeah, so Hurricane is an exploration and appraisal and production company focusing on specializing in fractured basements west of Shetland. We've had a great year with the drill bit. We've drilled two wells on our Lancaster license. We're currently drilling on our Lincoln license. And then we expect to be off to drill over Halifax. And then actually just today we announced the FPSO that takes us to an early production system and gets us to first oil in 1H19.
Excellent stuff. And can you go through, just for people not aware, like I said, a summary of your assets so far and obviously the priority ones?
Yeah, sure. Let's just deal with the priority ones. So really we're talking about the Greater Lancaster area, which comprises our Lancaster field, which we drilled earlier this year, Lincoln, which we're currently drilling, Warwick, and recently added our Halifax license, which is a continuation of the Lancaster license up to the northeast. Of Halifax and runs all the way up towards the West Trade Transfer Fault. So those are our key oil licenses. Then we have a Whirlwind, which is a slightly gassy license. But all our focus at the moment is really on Lancaster, Lincoln, and Halifax, where we are proving up the volumes and then, as a next step, de-risking the production profile.
Okay, and can you take us through some of the headline figures of the resources here?
Yeah, sure. So currently, our CPR, which was written in 2013, says we've got 200 million barrels of 2C resources on Lancaster and 200 on Whirlwind, and then 150 of prospective resources on Lincoln. What we're really now talking about, guiding the market to, is in excess of 300 million barrels on Lancaster as a result of our drilling operations, which would have a knock-on impact on Lincoln, which would take that number to around 250 million barrels of 2C resources. And then the interesting subject will be quite how much Halifax brings in. If it's just a pure structural closure like Lancaster, we would expect something in the region of another 250 million barrels. But the really, you know, what really, really excites us is if we can show the Halifax well that we will drill later this year, early next year, can be linked to our Lancaster well, then, and there's oil all the way up that ridge, then it's a very, very significant resource indeed.
Yeah, well, I know I have Malky. I'm not sure if you, Malcolm Graham Wood comes on the podcast on a regular basis. He's a big fan of Hurricane there. And he said last time, we could be looking at a billion barrels here. And obviously, you've got to be conservative, but that's quite an exciting prospect, I suppose.
It's a very big number, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. And okay, so take us through the last announcement. For people not aware of what an FPSO is, can you explain, please?
Yes, yes, it's a converted tanker, which has now got processing topsides added to it, which we would anchor to the seabed close to our Lancaster location, about two and a bit kilometres away, and from which we can produce oil from our two existing Lancaster horizontal wells into that vessel and then can be offloaded to a shuttle tanker or into a tanker in about 500,000 barrel parcels, either to be sold at, sort of across the flange of the vessel or into Rotterdam.
Yeah, and very news-heavy period for you now, in the next sort of 6 months, I suppose.
Well, yes, I mean, it couldn't really be any more news-heavy. We've got two announcements out yesterday.
Yeah.
We've got Lincoln to come, the Lincoln results to come, the spudding of our Halifax well to come, which will all happen this year, and then the Halifax result early next year. And then we really, the focus shifts almost exclusively onto our early production system. And so through the first half of the year, we have a whole series of announcements to come relating to approvals from the government for our FDP, that's our field development plan, and the financing related to it, you know, which are really, really significant results. And if we can get all of that away, and maybe, you know, the financing may well include, or could possibly include, maybe, it, if I was being my CFO, conservative-headed type, a farm out to a major in order to help us fund not only the Lancaster EPS, but some of the appraisal and development work that we need to do in the Greater Lancaster area.
Yeah, and you must be getting a lot of interest there now from majors.
Yes, you know they're beginning to wake up. You can feel the budget strings are beginning to be loosened. You know, they've had a couple of three really fairly miserable years, but you can't keep paying dividends with money that you don't produce. Yeah. So they're going to have to do something, and something includes investing for the future.
Yeah, just it's funny you said there you did quite a few things before the end of the year. I mean, are you aware we're almost in December?
Well, December's on Thursday, I believe.
Yeah.
But you know, we have an advent calendar and it has announcements in it rather than chocolate bars.
Yeah. Excellent stuff. Well, listen, you are capturing private investors' imagination here because you are featuring on the top list, most followed companies list. So, Alistair, you know, to give someone else who hasn't followed you a reason or three reasons, could you say why, in three bulleted point summary, Terry, why should someone hit that follow button on Hurricane Energy's page, please?
Well, and I come back to the same point each time you ask me this question, which is there is nobody in the UKCS who is sitting on potential resources anywhere near the size of Hurricane. And scale is what companies want, and it's scale that brings in majors to farm in and ultimately, we would hope, buy us out. Scale, hugely, hugely important, and concentration of assets.
Yeah.
Secondly, you know, in terms of news flow, there are, you know, there's real activity occurring here. And we almost have sort of two separate parts of the business going on. The first is discovering more and more resources. But the value of a resource is only worth, the value of the first barrel, or the last barrel, I should say, is only worth something when you can produce your first one. And so the early production system and our steps towards that over the next 6-9 months will produce huge amounts of news flow and de-risking of our portfolio. And we would hope that de-risking will slowly but surely move our share price north. Mm-hmm. And then thirdly, it's an intangible. And a lot of guys will never see it. But here is a management team at Hurricane who's utterly committed to getting this to work and work some ludicrous hours in order to make it happen and make it happen for our shareholders. And I think for that reason and that reason alone, good management teams make good assets even better. And I think that's a great reason to be following us.
Well, you know, Alistair, I can hear the excitement and passion in your voice for this project. So it's quite nice to hear that. It's very, very nice. And you know what? I keep going back to this this figure I read about a couple of weeks back about the International Energy Agency. And I think, you know, it's the fundamentals are now in favour of all. You know, completely, when they say they pulled, what, $1 trillion worth of exploration the majors have in the last couple of years. And you can't just switch that back on overnight, you know. And I think in over the next 3 or 5 years, we're going to see oil prices, you know, slowly climb back towards where they were, don't you think?
I think there's a natural balancing factor in the oil price, but I think what we have is a reasonable balance between oil price and service company costs. And so, you know, an awful lot of the value between, I don't know, $80 and $100 was eaten in oilfield services company costs.
Yeah.
But if we, you know, we can make great money at $60 oil, providing, you know, the margin doesn't get eaten by the oilfield services companies. And the fact of the matter is that we're running our developments now in this price environment means that we are capturing most of that upside.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I mean, you know, I've heard this from other oil companies saying they can do projects now half the price that it would have costed, you know, several years back. So, yeah, that's good. Alistair, thank you very much for coming on. And like I said, you're news heavy at the moment, so hopefully we'll chat again very soon.
I hope so. Thanks.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Matt Lofgren, CEO of Nostroterra. That's NTOG ticker. Matt, thank you for coming on.
You bet, Justin. Thanks for having me.
Well, I've got to say, as we speak right now, your company is the biggest riser on AIM, and I'm looking about just over 60% up, and that's because of the news. We'll get to the news in a bit. But for people not familiar with Nostroterra, Matt, can you give us a quick summary as to what the business is all about, please?
Sure. We're a small EMP, exploration production company, oil and gas company, assets in the U.S. and Egypt. And we're doing what we think is a smart move, which is buying producing assets and a little bit of upside as far as exploration development more so, but a really safe bet as far as buying existing assets with upside. And doing this in low oil price environment when the market's low, so buy low, sell high in essence with our assets.
Yeah. Well, the market has grabbed this and they like it by the looks of it. Like I said, it's like you're up by 60%. Now, the RNS today completed the acquisition of an 80% working interest in Pine Mills oil field. Can you take us through some of the key points here, please, Matt?
Sure. Yeah, it's in East Texas. It's 100 barrels a day gross that it's operating. We're picking up 80% working interest in that. The company that operates that we're acquiring that company that has various other associated assets. So you're getting 80% working interest in 2,400 acres. It's shallow conventional oil, so you're not looking at hyperbolic decline curves. The declines are mostly out, so it's relatively shallow at this point. You've got a workover rig associated with it, and some surface acreage, but it's minimal. Frankly, it's not a big deal, but it's something we need to include in the RNS just because it's required. Anyway, so that's the basics of it, though. But the another interesting point about this, and this is something that we did in our previous acquisition, that you know it's a small thing, but it's something to kind of learn about. All of our leases are HBP'd, which means held by production, HBP. Mm. That means is there's no drilling commitments on those, and it's holding those reserves. So there's no expiration of those leases. There's no requirements on those leases. The existing production holds those acres. And that means that if there's any additional wells that want to be drilled or any workovers, et cetera, of your existing wells, those can happen at your own leisure, your own time, when you're ready. And it's a neat way to go and acquire assets, pick them up, bank them. They cash flow, they work for you today, but you're still banking for the future, so you can go and do more work at your own leisure, like I said.
Yeah, well, do you know what? Looking at the economics of this, and it sort of makes sense. As soon as the RNS came out, I got out to the back of the envelope, but I did it on the computer. But I did some maths on this, and it is because you know a market cap of 2 million, and I was working 100 barrels a day at $40, and it's $4,000 per day. Over the year, that's 1.46 million. I know you get 80% working, but that's not far off your market cap. And I'm thinking, and you know, you're saying this is profitable below $30 a barrel. So the economics stack up well here, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I mean, we've done over the last year and change, 18 months, let's call it. We've been pretty conservative about bringing our overheads down even lower. So, you know, September of 2014, just over 2 years ago, we watched the oil price crash along with everybody else. And ironically, or more coincidentally, here we are, it's just over, just past Thanksgiving weekend. And 2 years ago, Thanksgiving, everybody was watching saying, gee, at this point, oil has just gone so low and it can't last and OPEC's got to cut. And here we are 2 years later, almost to the date. And everybody's still having the same conversation about OPEC's meetings and, oh, they must be cutting. You know, I'm okay with the low oil prices, and frankly, I hope they stay a little lower a little bit longer, because we can buy and we can make money at these lower prices. So if we keep our overheads low and we can make money at $30 in these different leases, let's pick up as many as we can and grow that. And if we can do that at these prices, eventually oil prices will go up. And when we do, we're in a much stronger position then as well.
Yeah, that's you know, if you're profitable below $30 a barrel, that's good economics there. So as far as these wells are concerned, what's the plan going forward? And I see in the RNS there is potentially it takes up to 150 barrels of oil a day. Is that right?
Yeah, that's in the more of the immediate near term. I mean, there are different workovers of existing wells. That doesn't include bringing on any new wells, and there's some PUDs or potential undeveloped or new wells that you could drill that are low risk development wells, not exploration wells. So there's some PUDs that we can go out and drill as well, and some exploration opportunity that's interesting. So that's, you know, that we'll mix that in with some of our other assets that we have and that we're working on in the pipeline, and we'll prioritize on which ones we think are going to have the biggest bang for the buck and move us forward as quick as possible.
Yeah, so essentially you could say that, you know, 100 barrels a day average is almost a baseline figure at the moment. Is that the case or what?
Well, yeah, and to be clear, we're on this particular asset, we're 80% interest of the 100.
Yeah, okay, all right, cool. And let's go back to a previous RNS. When that first came out, and you mentioned in that acquisition that it was 2 barrels of oil per day, what's the plan for that asset?
Well, yeah, thanks for bringing that up. It's a small one, and you know, it's not necessarily, on the surface, it's not material. 2 barrels a day, no big deal, nothing to get excited about. And 50 acres, same thing. I mean, it's nothing to get super excited about. But the reason we felt it was important to put that in an RNS was to give shareholders a little bit more of an understanding of why we're doing what we're doing and where we're doing that. That particular area, it's also in Texas, but in this case, it's the Permian Basin in West Texas. It's one of the 3 hottest areas in the U.S. right now. A lot of activity, and that's for a lot of reasons. There's a stacked pay, so there's a lot of different formations. And in this particular area that we're in, it's shallow, it's very low cost, and it's very predictable. And so we put out this news because we thought it was important for people to see what we're doing and to see that it's the beginning of building a stake. We've got a lot more that we're working on in that particular area.
Yeah, and but this particular acquisition, I mean, essentially, it is quite. I know the word transformational is used a lot, but for a small oil and gas company like yourself, it is, isn't it? Because it brings cash on board and it makes you cash flow positive.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, this asset, like you said, the asset itself is cash flow positive right now. So that's gonna be a benefit to the company as it stands, and we'll continue to add more assets similar to this.
So that's all. That's also quite exciting for shareholders. So this is not, you're not standing still here with this. You're still moving on and looking for other acquisitions. Yeah,
correct.
Okay, excellent stuff. And all right, Matt. Well, and also we mustn't forget you've got your asset in Egypt. In which I last count, I think you owed about $1 million, I think you owed from that, isn't it?
Yeah, that's correct as well.
So yeah, so I, you know, people can see you can see why the share price is rising here, because people can see the potential going forward. Marvelous, well, Matt. Listen, as always, I like to ask anyone that comes on to give us 3 reasons why someone should hit the follow button on their page on Vox Markets. Could you do that? Could you summarise why, you know, someone now not following Nostra should hit that follow button on your page, please?
Yeah, sure. Let me try and keep it as simple as possible. First, I think you're looking at the ability to grow and low oil prices. Everybody in stocks likes to buy low and sell high. We're doing the same thing with assets. We think that's what bodes well for a company. Mm-hmm. Two, we're a small company, so at this price, at this market cap, the ability to have a multi-bagger or to have a big increase in our market cap is much more apparent, I believe. And the third would be the news flow. This is just the beginning. We've got a lot of news, a lot of activity, call it over the next 90, 100 days. Talk about the new president coming in the U.S. and everybody talks about the first 100 days of the presidency. We've got another 100 days of some good activity with what we've been working on. A lot behind the scenes that people don't see. And, we're at that point where I think they're going to start to see some of these actions that we've been working on.
Yeah, well, I think it's a good point about, President-elect Trump there, because, you know, like you said, he's a businessman and he wants to stimulate business. And I know that he's aware that oil and gas producers have been hit hard in the shale producers in America. So I'm sure he'll try and do something to help the guys out there. So excellent stuff. Matt,
not to get so political about it, and you know, everybody's got different opinions, but what we do know as a fact is the stock market rallied pretty hard right after the news, and hitting all-time highs there in the U.S. So, you know, if that's a precursor, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, exactly. But I've got to say, you know, like you said there, though, you're watching the oil price, you know, climb down the last couple of years. But you've got a project here that's profitable at below $30 a barrel, which is good economics. So, Matt, listen, you sound like you've got a lot of news coming out. So I look forward to chatting to you next time you're on about some more news. Thanks very much.
You bet. Thanks, Justin.
Okay, it's time for today's suggested one for your watch list. Don't forget, this is not investment advice. This is just information for you to start your research journey. What a journey that'll be, eh? Okay, today's suggested stock is Iron Ridge Resources, IRR, submitted by Darren. Thank you for getting involved, Darren. What does the company do? Iron Ridge Resources is an AIM-listed mineral exploration company with frontier assets in both Australia and West Africa, with two province-scale projects in Gabon and a promising and advanced titanium and bauxite projects in Queensland, Australia. How many shares does the company have in issue? 236 million. What's current price and market cap? Share price is 15.375 pence. Market cap 36 million. What revenue, profit, or loss did the company generate? For the year ended the 30th of June 2016, loss before tax was $2.3 million. How much cash or debt does the company have for the year ended 30th of June 2016? Cash and equivalents of $10.7 million. No debt. List three reasons why people should put this company on the Vox Markets watch list. Number one, huge, diverse portfolio being built. Number two, big names in association with shareholders alike. Sorry, big names in association and shareholders alike. That's reason two. And number three, rocketing iron prices for is readily available play and all low capex. So yeah, iron ore has been rocketing recently. So that's Iron Ridge Resources, IRR. Do your own research. And thank you very much, Dan, for submitting that. And by the way, if you know of a company that you think should be on other people's watch lists, then please click the link. Just go to voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. You'll see one of my posts there. And you'll see at the bottom there, do you know of a stock that you think should be on people's watch lists? Click here to fill the form, and I could be featuring it on a future podcast. So, yeah, depending how much, obviously, research you put into that. But it takes about 5 minutes, probably. All right, time for top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website the last 24 hours. At five, YOLO. Fifth most followed. At four, Coppel, Canadian Overseas Petroleum. At three, after today's news, I checked to Matt on the podcast, Nostra Terra, NTOG. At two, Boss. That's Boss Global Holdings, BOS. And number one, yeah, these two of these companies are, you know, much talked about. Solo Oil and Gas. Solo. It's got YOLO at the bottom, Solo at the top there. All right, these are the top three most liked RNSs in the last 24 hours. At three, Optibiotics, Scientific and Commercial Update. At two, Nostra Terra. NTOG completed acquisition of an 80% working interest in the Pine Mills, Wood Exeter, you know what I'm saying? And number one, again, another guest on the show, Hurricane Energy, agreement for the use of an FPSO at Lancaster Field. And that's it for today's podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget, if you know someone who you think may be into stocks and shares, penny stocks and shares, investing, please recommend this podcast to them, even if it's just one person, even if you have just one friend, even if you don't have a friend. Just tap someone in the street who you think looks like could be an investor and say, have a listen to this. That would help. Thanks very much. And like I said, for listening, much appreciate us.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.